It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Rodney DeBulsa. I'll be your host for the next hour. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting superstar at UGASports.com, who has a lot of updates from Georgia's big weekend, full of five-star visitors to Athens from where they got to watch Georgia beat Auburn. Speaking of that game, we're going to have former head coach Jim Dunn and break down the game, tell us what Georgia did right, which was a lot of the good things, and tell us what they need to work on going forward, maybe clear up some of those penalties and some of the questions you folks have. If you have questions, go ahead and send them in. You're watching this on the 11 Alive Facebook page. Give them a like. We'd really appreciate that. I mean, show doesn't cost you anything. We'd be kind if you would just share it and give it a like. We'd very much appreciate that. And speaking of people who are sponsoring our show, we want to give a quick shout-out to Athens Ford. Go out there when you get a chance. Aaron Overhead Doors, big sponsors of not only the show but the podcast. Of course, Your Pie. I'll tell you about a new function they have where you can actually order your get your pie online, which is fantastic. Saves you a couple minutes going in. Of course, Academia Brewing Company, great place to watch the game this Saturday. And Cable East, good friends of ours who sponsor the show for no good reason. So thanks to Robert Wall and folks out at Cable East. We really appreciate it. Also, if you need some, you see the coach rocking the Power G logo shirt there. If you need something along those lines, especially maybe something that says back-to-back SEC East champs, or you need something for the Georgia's SEC championship game, swing by 365 Game Day. They can help you out. Coach, I want to jump right into the –
You know, before you jump into that, I just have to tell you this one thing here that's just been on my mind here.
Uh-oh.
And it's just very, very salient, I think, because I've been around here for 23 years. And I just want to go back to the Middle Ages. And when you had the Middle Ages, you know, you jump from a really tough situation to all of a sudden they had the Renaissance, where a culture changed from the arts, from the military, from everything. It was just a tremendous change from the past to the future. And what I want everybody to invigorate themselves right now is we are in the Renaissance of Georgia football, because when you look at where we were and where we are right now, we need to enjoy this moment. It might not be exactly what we want right now. It might not be perfecto, but let me tell you something. There is going to be a tsunami, a tidal wave, a volcano over the next 5 or 6 years around here with this football program. We are on fire!
I have to agree with you, Coach. I was pointing this out. I spoke to the Jacksonville Bulldog Club. Thanks for having me down there, folks, last week. And I kind of touched on the exact same thing you said. I said, I've been covering Georgia 25 years, and I don't remember a team that's as talented as this one, you know, for, you know, just the sheer amount of talent they have on there. Jake can attest to it from the recruiting standpoint. He's never covered this many, you know, top players. I'm not just talking five stars. I'm talking four stars, three stars. Guys who are contributing, the depth of this team is pretty amazing. And think about it. Last year, Kirby's second year in the program, they go to the national title game. And, I mean, you go to overtime. You're beating Alabama until the very end. I mean, that's pretty bloody impressive. So it is tough to get there. It, you know, one fumble, one bad play, one bad call, you can lose a game. And it could be the game that knocks you out of it. You can't – the margin of error is so small. But the guy who's focusing on those margins of error, those tiny little, you know, the every little aspect, is Kirby Smart. And, I mean, look at – you're 12-0 against the SEC East. You just beat Auburn again. So you've beat them two out of three times in the last calendar year. And two of those games weren't even close. One of them you got your head kicked in, but the others were bloody impressive. So Georgia bounced back from that. So I agree with you, Coach. I think that you're in the Renaissance. And not only that, as Jake can tell you, they're still reloading. they're still bringing in players.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but I didn't get to finish because I said to fire. But I just think that the potential is one thing. Performance is another. You don't let your, what you can't do interfere with what you can do. And that's right. what he's been able to do. John Wooden used to say that. Don't let what you can't do interfere with what you can do and worry about it. And I think that's what happens to all of us, trying to analyze what we can't do and what other teams can. What I do know that we have developed here is a system, a culture, a whatever you want to call it, the all-around program that's going to benefit so many of these other players as they develop to become whatever their roles might be to accentuate these five-star players. So, you know, like we said when the first show this year, this might not be our year with the rebuilding, but, you know, you better get some of us this year if you're going to, and LSU did. But I can just see everything mounting. I can see these players. For example, a guy like Stokes the other day, you saw he got his shot. He came in there, brilliant coaching by Kirby and Tucker, playing dime defense on regular downs against them, putting Webb in and taking a linebacker out. We played dime about 28, 29 snaps the other day, and you never play it that much. But we were in Gus's head doing that, and it was just a tremendous coaching job. Offense did a great job of keeping the ball away. We didn't score as many points as maybe as we could, but I'm just telling you now, I enjoy watching things develop. I've seen it happen here over the last 3 years. I've seen the way these kids work. I see their preparation, and starting to really pay the fruits of the dividends of all that hard labor right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty clearly. I think you're seeing Georgia come out and answer that bell that people have been, you know, wanting them to go, wanting them to do for so long. You know, looking back over last Saturday, Coach, what was the most impressive aspect for you? I mean, I think a lot of people would point to the run game kind of first off, but, you know, is that what caught your eye as well?
Yeah, I think a couple things. Third down performance both sides. I thought we got off the field good on third down, and we kept the ball on third down against them. And Jake was phenomenal. He's been phenomenal the last three games though, as far as third down conversion. That attributes to good protection, good routes, and catching the ball in the open field. And the fact that Swift has really come back around with his, you know, confidence with his legs and everything. He's such a threat to run the ball on the draw, but then you fake it to him, and then you got to cover him out of the backfield. And if you have enough time, Jake can see the different levels, and then he comes back to this guy underneath, and he's just devastating underneath when he catch a ball and make a first down and keep his sticks moving. You know, we got so much to talk about. We'll answer all the questions. But I just think the fact that if anybody told me we'd rush for 300 yards against that stout defense, yeah, I think they're smoking some serious weed. So that was pretty impressive. It was very impressive that we were able to do that. And with you wouldn't call it a makeshift line, because every time somebody gets hurt, a guy that's played comes in there and plays good. You know, Baker comes in for Cade, who's had a, you know, if you have a bad shoulder, that's tough to be an offensive lineman because of what you're doing, particularly against those guys. And then Baker goes down, and then we get Ben, who really, that helped Ben's confidence to go in there in a game when the game was really salted away. But just get your feet wet a little bit, and he'll be ready to go this week against the guys from UMass. And we got to tell one quick story about Massachusetts, because they're coming in here, man. I'm telling you now, it's not every day you get to tell a joke about somebody from the north. And Roddy's heard me tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. But there's these two guys in this bar up in Massachusetts, and they were in there drinking like you do in this Irish pub and everything. And the guy says, "Where you be from, laddie?" He said, "I'm from Ireland." He said, "You're from Ireland? I'm from Ireland too. Whereabouts?" He said, "I'm from the south side." "The south side?" And first of all, he said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Dublin." He said, "Dublin, yeah." He said, "What's the part? The south side. Where'd you go to school?" "Jackson Technology." "Hey, Jackson Technology. I'm from Jackson Technology." "What year?" "1994 Jackson Technology from Dublin. Both of us in the same bar here in Boston, Mass. I can't believe it." So about that time, this guy comes in the bar and asks Charlie, he said, "How's it going tonight?" He said, "Oh, it's going pretty good, but the O'Brien twins are back there drunk again." Oh, man. But you don't get many Massachusetts jokes because you don't play them. But those O'Brien twins couldn't remember where they're from there too often. That's pretty good.
The line on this game is 44 points.
And I, now it am I mistaken in saying I believe Patrick Garbin said that's the largest line that Georgia's had, I think, in some like massive amount of time? Yeah, okay.
It's a Jesse James line. What shot Jesse James? 44, man. Hey, you know, that is an unbelievable line. And they got some pretty good firepower here with their offense. And that's what happens when you tell good jokes and bring you some catfish,
man. My God. Hey, how are you rewarding him for that joke?
Hey, seriously, though, catfish here, I mean, as good as a chicken is, a catfish is stronger than bridge cable. I'm just going to tell you this right now. This team scares me a little bit because of what's looming with Tech and with Alabama and everybody talking, because they got some firepower. They know what they're doing throwing the ball. Mark Whipple was a offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers when Roethlisberger was first starting out. I mean, he coached in Miami. He knows how to throw the ball. They got that Isabella kid, one of the fastest kids in America. So they'll make some yards on us and all. And obviously, I'm not playing, being the prophet of doom. We'll get after them, but it's not going to be like playing Austin Peay or some of those teams. We're going to have to play a little bit. I mean, these guys can score points.
Well, let me ask you this, though, too. Hey, we talked about this in the press conference with Kirby yesterday. Obviously, you know, he's going to say what he's going to say because you have to in public. How hard is it to get your team up for a competition like this?
It's tough. It's really tough. But the way we practice and the standards that we have, you got to get ready, because whoever we're playing, I don't care what team it is, we practice two or three periods every day, ones versus ones. So if you're not out there giving it your all, you better be ready for that. You know what I mean? You could slough off on the and get by on the running the scout team, maybe. You know what I mean, when you're going against them. And the other thing that you can't – some of my players would really hate it because they tried to slough off. When you got those – things are keeping up with how you're producing and how much you're running.
GPS trackers on them.
GPS tracker. You can't fool those babies now. I mean, unless you get a lightning storm or something. So these guys got those. They're checking their ass out pretty quick. Excuse me. But so you better be out there. And everybody knows the intensity Kirby's got.
Yeah, you
so,
get cheap.
But I do think, and I don't know that we'll do this, but it would prevent – would. You know, at the end of the year, you cut back and practice and do a little bit more mental walkthroughs and stuff like that. I would think with the time allotment we have, we might can spend a little bit of time just teaching our scout team after practice what to do on Tech's offense because looking at some things. But we're not going to overlook this game, and we're not going to look too much to the future. But I think our preparation will be really good, because that's the only thing that is survival out there, man. I mean, you got to go out there and do what you're supposed to every day.
But I hate to say this, but with a committee now determining who gets into the playoffs, and Georgia's, they have to win the SEC championship to get in. There's no question about it. But if there was a situation where the committee is looking at them, you know, in any other aspect, saying, maybe if Alabama lost to Auburn, just, you know, anything where you're looking at a situation where they have to judge you on your loss versus some other teams with a one loss, in a game like this, do you have to go out and put up 45 points?
I don't think so, because after tonight, we'll still be fifth.
Yeah.
And, next week, you're going to see Ohio State or Michigan play each other. You're going to see Oklahoma and West Virginia. Next week's going to be the tell all, you know, as far as what happens there. But and Notre Dame this week against Syracuse is huge. Syracuse to me is a team that's very difficult to defend. They really do a great job, but their defense is going to have a hard time. I think Book's going to be back at quarterback for Notre Dame. So we can talk about all those scenarios, but Notre Dame's in. There's one place left if Notre Dame and Clemson both win out and Alabama wins out. And you know, who's going to get that? Ohio State, Michigan winner? Or, you know, if Alabama would win out, we'd be with two losses. So
yeah, you're out.
You could looking down of us maybe playing Oklahoma again in the Sugar Bowl.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Somebody asked me
that's not
about
a
that.
Prediction. I'm just
no,
saying
I'm just
everything
saying
went out.
No,
like
you're right. Yeah.
Before.
Somebody asked
but
me about that.
We can beat Alabama. We can. I mean, they can lose to us, too. I mean, you saw what happened last year. Who would ever thought we would play them like we did? And the way our offense is playing right now with the confidence Jake's got and the way our lineman's playing and the use of Justin in certain situations. You realize that he's been in the game 27 times on third down situations, converted 15 of them. 12 of them for first downs, 3 for touchdowns. So with everybody in the stadium knowing what he's going to do, he's still been pretty efficient. Everybody wants to talk about the bad play he made on the goal line. It was a bad call any way you look at it. First and 2. You try to see if you can do it, but we're going to show him something we hadn't done, and it didn't work out. But, you know, overall, the fact he got to play 15 snaps the other night against a really good opponent's got to help us down the road.
That's actually what I was going to – one of the things I wanted to ask you about when you have a team – and we'll talk – I know folks have a lot of questions about Auburn, but my last question on UMass, when you – and you can only answer this because you've been a head coach. I'm thinking if I'm a starting quarterback, I'm a starting running back, I'm a guy, you know, starting wide receiver, and I see a team – and let's just – I'm not trying to blow up UMass, but it's not a strong football – it's not Auburn. It's not LSU. It's a team you're supposed to win by 45 points. Is this you? Are you thinking as a starter, hey, I finally got an easier week. I'm not going up against this all-star cornerback or this defensive line. I want to get my stats, get my numbers up, get my highlight reel going up. Because a lot of us in the media, we think Georgia will get 3 scores and then put in all the subs. And at one point, in other words, are the players, the starters, are they thinking, yeah, I want to stay in because I want to, you know, get my numbers up, have fun playing against this team versus, you know, you as a coach, you're like, hey, we got a good lead. Let's bring in the other guys, get them some snaps.
I would say maybe in some programs where the guys play a predominant amount of snaps, that could happen. But for us, you got situations where you look at our – I think it's great the way our guys show the number of snaps we have today, each guy plays. Well, our receivers are going to play just a certain amount of plays. Our backs are going to get about 30 plays in the game, you know. You look at those two guys, they're going to get 59 plays. I think they played like 55 of them, like 27 and whatever it was. So – It doesn't make any difference who the opponent is. We switch guys in and out. We do the same thing with personnel groupings on defense. Some of our defensive players play 25. The guys that play the most are the O-line and the defensive backs.
Yeah.
Linebackers, defensive ends, everybody else switches around. The same thing with wide receivers and backs. So I think, too, we got a head coach really not too caught up in stats. And the players.
No, he doesn't care. But I think the players.
And
would be
the players understand.
I want to be out there and get my numbers.
Yeah, they would like to do that. But you know, you start worrying about stuff like that, then you play against the team. I know we have played some teams in the past and start talking about when are we going to substitute. Well, not only substituting in the game, but what are you going to do about your special teams? All of a sudden, you're going to take out your first team special team guys because you're worried about them getting hurt. It'd be terrible for a guy to be covering a punt in the third quarter when you're up 30 points. So you're going to put guys in there, and that's going to look like not good because we don't punt much anyhow. Same thing with, kickoff coverage and all that. So, I had a guy one time, his dad said, this coach said, I give a scholarship if you let my son run down on the kickoff. I mean, you know, that's important for some of these kids to, you know, dress out and get a chance to do that. But if you're going to do something here under Kirby, you got to meet the standard to get in there. They don't give away too much stuff.
I got a giveaway. Speaking of giveaways, and this is a tease. I can't tell you about what's going to happen, but next week there's going to be a Black Friday special from Athens Ford. So if you want to go out and you're looking at Raptors, you're looking at Focuses, you're looking at Explorers, any of those, they have some great Black Friday deals. And I remember last year they did this where you went out during Black Friday and bought a vehicle out there. You got a free television. They're doing it again this year. Free TVs when you go out there. So
go out there, load it up in the back of your F-150, exactly. Drive home with your free TV.
And they have up to $15,000, not $1,500, $15,000 off of MSRP on certain vehicles. So I'm just telling you, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it this week because next week we're going to hit this home. But go ahead when your Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday scheduling, if you need a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, you want to stop by Athens Ford. Two birds, one stone. Get a fantastic vehicle with a lifetime powertrain warranty and a new TV. And they weren't giving out small ones last year. Those are big TVs, big flat screens. So just telling you, the deals are secret now. They can't put them out yet. They're embargoed.
But we'll have them for you next Tuesday.
We'll have them for you next Tuesday. I've seen it. I'm looking. I've got the little cutout here. It's fantastic. But again, you know how they have the manufacturer's deals and stuff like that. It's all embargoed until next week. But trust me, you want to get out to Athens Ford next week. If you are not going out there to get a new vehicle, go out there and get service on the one you have. That's a fantastic place. You know, free drinks, great Wi-Fi, a clean sitting room, waiting room while you do your stuff. They're fast. So if you need any service on your vehicle, swing by Athens Ford.
Coach, this is an interesting question here. Got a bunch coming in for you. But I thought that this one, particularly after the last couple of weeks, was relevant. And maybe we'll see this guy this week even a little bit more. He said, Lloyd Dixon wants to know, which 2018 recruit has surprised you the most with what they've done on the field?
Ooh.
Jordan, you know, Davis.
Okay, Coach.
I couldn't resist.
You know, I think Jordan's done, because he wasn't a big part of things early, has been more than a pleasant surprise, just really played well. I would think, I don't know, I just think all of those five-star guys, the guy that's been the most, has contributed probably most, been Cade by the much as much as he's played. But I'm not surprised after watching him in the spring that he was going to be so good. But, you know, he got the opportunity. But I'm really not that surprised about any of these guys. I'm just hopeful that we'll continue to develop Tindall and Walker, you know, at the linebacker position where we really need it down, you know, this year and next year. But I guess the biggest surprise to me of the whole group has been Stokes. Just we talked about him last year, and we thought he was going to come around, you know, after spring because of the way he can run. And he just really – he's a very smart player. He, you know, I think Kirby has alluded to it in the press conference that you tell him something, and you can tell anybody something.
Coachable.
How much do you retain? And we run a lot of hard stuff. There's no question about it. And when – a lot of checks and things like that. But both times that he's been, you know, called on against good passers. I mean, two guys are going to be pro players. Locke against Missouri when Campbell went down, and then Stidham last week when, you know, Campbell had a few bad plays. I think this guy has just really surfaced to be a guy you can really count on. And we're going to lose Baker, you know. And we got – Daniel, and I'm going to give my boy a little love here on Daniel. You know, you said don't give up on him. You went down there and covered the press conference and everything, but you got some good vibes there. And as usual, the recruiting guru was right, and Daniel just couldn't say no to the dogs. And he's going to help our secondary, isn't he?
There's no doubt about it. I think that losing Baker, you know, you're wanting to get a guy with some experience in there. Obviously, Tyson's going to have it, but having a guy with, you know, the junior college experience, he's played through some adversity, he's done some tough things, and with his size and speed, I think he's a dead ringer almost for what you're losing in DeAndre.
Exactly.
So, great replacement they got in DJ Daniel. Huge, huge flip for the
and
Bulldogs.
And then the other guy, the was it Jermaine Johnson? What's his name? Johnson, the linebacker?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy who's,
he's a take.
I feel like we haven't talked about him in a while, but I was thinking about him the other day. He posted kind of a career highlight kind of wrap up this year, and boy, what an impressive young man he's going to be. I think that he's a day one contributor.
Pass
for you.
Pass the eyeball test.
Won't be surprised if he's one and done. It would not surprise me at all.
And I would say this, and we'll get back to questions, but I read that report Roddy wrote, I don't know what you call it, Roddy report or whatever. What is
the
it?
Roddy report. I like that.
The Georgia 3-2-1 report.
Okay, but, you know, yeah. You were talking about the guys that flipped last year and the guys that are contribution and everything like that, which is everybody, these decommitments and commitments and all. I would just say take a big chill pill here and understand you got a general manager as a head coach here. This guy thinks squad roster all the time. They're always looking at who can they – bring in to fill our needs. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes that includes taking somebody away from, you know, a really good player because we need somebody in another position. That was one of the hardest things as a head coach, to have you as a position coach and you as a position coach say, Coach, I got this guy down in Waycross and I got this guy up in North Georgia. And, you know, both of you need him, but how does the team need him? How does it fit into the whole deal? And You just got to make that tough choice sometime, and you turn down some kids that could really help you, but you got to look at the depth and where it's going to be. And if there's ever been a team that's benefited from depth in the O-line this year, it's been the Bulldogs, because we have had about everything could go. There's not anybody on our line except Wilson that hasn't been hurt this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, now you've just you just jinxed him.
I didn't say which Wilson, though.
There you go.
I didn't say which Wilson.
Shout out to Isaiah Wilson and Andrew Thomas for grading out phenomenally this past week against a very tough defensive line. We just posted the Pro Football Focus grades at UGASports.com. You want to check those out. We also posted the snap count, which is very telling when you see, as Coach pointed out, too, the amount of time Georgia was in the dime. I think it was like 63% of the time they were in dime, which is kind of mind-boggling. But, you know, that's hey, you had a passing team and they went against it.
Well, you know what it is for anybody who might not understand? You got your regular personnel, which is just, you know, your inside and outside linebackers and four secondary guys. You go to your nickel defense where you take a linebacker out and then you have five defensive back. Then dime is when you put take another linebacker and now you got six DBs in. And then you got penny where you go in there and you take a defensive lineman out and put another linebacker in to rush with six guys in the dime. So we were in penny, nickel, dime, penny, nickel, dime. We were in all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, when you, and you've been shouting the praises of Webb and McGee, and they both played a lot. So
role players that have developed. The one thing you know about Webb, now I'm not going to put the quietus on, but if it's the difference between a guy going down in the open field and making or getting around you, I don't see him missing many tackles. The guy is a superb open field tackler, and when Kirby says you are, you know you are.
Yeah,
I mean
he was targeted eight times. They made eight catches, but the yards after the catch, very very few.
And those were
dink passes. Yeah,
the king of dink.
Yeah.
Dinky, dinky.
And, again, I'm not busting on him because he actually graded out fantastic.
What did the guy catch, 13 passes on the dinks, Davis?
It was a lot. I think he's still catching 1-2 yards past the line of scrimmage.
But, you know, the thing that – but only getting the other thing you talked about, and that was your prediction about rushing the passer and all that. We did a phenomenal job of putting heat on him, vertical pressure. And one of the best things I like to see as a coach is the quarterback being flushed and run to either sideline. You go back to last week against Kentucky, first time we really had the pressure on Wilson. We forced him out to his left, and we came back from the backside and made the play. Then this week, the same thing. Several times Stidham's rolling out. The only choice he's got is to throw it into the bench, you know. I like – that's not a sack, but that's a hurry, and it looks good too, and it makes him think about, you know, getting happy feet in there.
All this talk about Isaiah Wilson too, I have to say, I think that guy may be the silent MVP of this team this year. Talk about a guy who's just been rock solid. He's been there every snap.
He's Andrew Thomas of last year, the same spot.
Exactly. Right. You know, and it's weird to me, though, that we're not talking about him more. I mean, given that he was a five-star
guy. He's 6'7", 350 pounds. Yeah.
Right. You know, I can't believe being a five-star guy. You know, it seems like we're talking about these guys getting rotated in and you know, what a great performance Cade made. And I'm not doing any of that, but – what Isaiah's done this year, I think, has been very, very critical to what Georgia's
been
able to
do. I want to add one thing to that. Last year when he was being redshirted, there was not a bigger pro-team guy in his social media presence, in his actual presence. You know, there was never any resentment, never any whining. Everything that UGA put out, he followed recruiting. You know, he worked on recruiting some of the guys that are part of this team behind him, I mean this class behind him. Very, very pro-Georgia guy from Brooklyn.
Well, you see what's happening with him, though, from that standpoint. That's coaching, too, that, you know, you sit down with a guy and you tell him, look, right now, look, you look around at our team, and based on the way you are right now, why use a little bit of time on you and play you a little bit? When you can get into a really good weight program, you can redefine your body, and – essentially, you don't tell them that, but you can make a lot of money by sitting out this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, tell him that. You absolutely tell him that.
No, I mean, you tell him that if you're going to give him some, but I'm talking about the recruit from the pro standpoint. You know what I mean? It's just – and he's a pro lineman. Just look at it. He's got too good of feet.
George Foster checking in says he's happy to see us giving out some O-line love. Also
George?
Says, old George.
Tell George, tell his mother hello for me.
There you go.
George Foster, what a good player that guy was.
Just so you know, we're replacing you in a couple weeks with George Foster. He actually agreed to do the show. So you should probably replace me. I bring nothing. I bring nothing to the show.
George is asking a question.
No, he just he said some O-line love, and then he also said that catfish looks good.
We will have as much catfish as he can eat when George comes up to do the show.
Hey, George, good man. I tell you what, some good tackles there, George and Terry and Jonas and Stinchcombs. I mean, good tackles.
You know, I think that's also helping Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman, again, my MVP of the season, and I know it's most valuable player, but I'm going to give him a player's award because he is – what he's done with this offensive line has been impressive. But when you're looking in the NFL and you see you got Bowling playing next to Cordy Glenn, the left-hand side of that Bengals line is all Georgia guys. You see
Boss Andrews.
Except the way they played against the Saints.
Yeah. Well, in the Saints, they've got some fantastic tight end over there who's a former Georgia guy. But point being, I'm looking at all these guys they're going to have in the NFL. And
did you see that where Ben Watson tweeted about they took away the touchdown he made and or the catch or something, but his little boy said, well, Dad, I'm still going to count it for you.
Yeah, there's a touchdown, yeah. He said there's a touchdown to me. Congrats to Ben for his
twins, I think,
twins on the way, so.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great dad.
And what a cool celebration that was. To stick it under the shirt. That was awesome. It's interesting that you were talking about that because somebody asked a recruiting question related to the NFL. Robert Barnes says, my question about recruiting is, do these high school running backs watch the NFL? Gurley and Chubb are in highlights every week and look at the linebackers making plays. Robert, I can assure you they absolutely do watch those guys. And you better believe that when Del McGee is sitting in your living room, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about, you know, how you can be the next one of those guys. If you saw what Nick Chubb, Todd Gurley did this past weekend, when Sony gets healthy, he's had a good rookie campaign, all things considered.
And they probably even claim Isaiah Crowell.
Here's the thing, too, that helps there is the fact that these two guys are in the same class, but they got drafted because we share the load. Look what we're doing this year. We're sharing the load with these two guys here. So there's room for you to play here early and get a lot of training, and you're going to get a train. And you, to me, a big selling point, you know, you might lose a spread quarterback once in a while because of what we do under center and all that. But training for the NFL, a back gets a lot more practice at blocking pass protection, running routes, and doing everything in our system than they do in a spread system.
Yeah, I do want to point out something, and this is
although we have some spread elements for you quarterbacks that would like to do more.
To the coach's point, you can tell a kid, hey, come here, share the load, and they kind of – it almost feels like a line.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of these kids, they are the premier back at their school. They're used to getting the ball 100 times, you know, in three games, and they're looking to be that star player. But when you can say, look, we did a system where we shared the load between two backs, and we had one guy became the second most successful rusher in the history of the SEC. The other guy became the third in the history of University of Georgia, and they got drafted in the first round and the second round. And then, those two guys are flukes, but they're not flukes because Dave McMahon pointed this out. Last year, Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel threw the 10 games, had 250 rushes, 1,600 yards, 19 touchdowns. Through the first 10 games, DeAndre Swift and Elijah Holyfield, 234 rushes, so fewer rushes, 1,575 yards, only 50 yards less, and 13 TDs. You didn't do it just once. In other words, you can't just say
– Yeah, it's not lip service.
Yeah, it's not lip – exactly. It's not a line. It's not a story. It's not, well, Sony and Nick were special. You're able to do it with the next two guys up.
Absolutely.
So when you're – Georgia lost –
Well, we do it in tandems, though. I mean, you go back – You go back to when I was here, we had Alandis Gary and Robert Edwards at the same time. Then
were they any good?
Patrick Pass coming right behind them. Then you go with Marshall and Gurley. And now this. So there's a tremendous history here of I think the system.
Cook and Zamir White. Let's see what they can do.
I think the system, though, really is good for linemen, too, because – If you play offensive linemen in a spread system, you only do RPOs mostly. They don't know if you can run three or four different types of protection. You know, you can't do scat protection. You can't do slide protection. You can't do blitz pickup when all you do is run block. But if you're doing a system like we do, that's going to get you ready for it, and it's going to help you make it. But we're not just talking about going to pros, but I'm going to tell you, every kid that I ever recruited that was worth his salt is thinking about, can you get me to the league?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the number one thing we get from these kids all the time.
And anybody wants to know it, we can get you to the league here.
Yeah, it would certainly appear so. I think that they've made that point pretty clear to these younger
defensively,
recruits.
even more so based on the fact that you got a guy calling the plays from the defensive coordinator that was a defensive coordinator in the pros, knows the techniques. You got a guy that's put out a phenomenal amount of players as the head coach, you know, put them out too over there and here. So look at Carter last night. I mean, come on. That was an unbelievable hit he put on.
Absolutely.
That one kid, Mullins, last night.
It's a great system Georgia has. I want to point out somebody else has a great system. This is new. We talk about YourPie, and we talk about their 58 locations. I want to let you know what you can do now. You can go to YourPie.com, and you can actually set up your order. So, you know, like sometimes when you walk into a YourPie, they ask you, you know, what dough do you want, what sauce do you want, what cheeses do you want, all the different toppings. Do you want one of their specialty pizzas, you know, like the Voodoo or the Thai Pie or the Southern Heat, you know, the Ishka, the Natural, all those different ones. But, you know, if you're like, I don't want to do it in line, or I get too nervous when people are behind me, I'm in a hurry. Stage fright. You can actually – they have a system now set up. You go to YourPie, and you actually order it online. And it pops up, it says, you know, pick your location, you know, put in your zip code, it'll show all the ones next to you. And then you go through it point by point, which crust do you want, which sauce do you want, all the different toppings. And you go ahead and put your order in, and they will have it prepped for you when you get there. So, again, it only takes like – I've had people say, well, it's going to take too long because I walk in, I order a pizza, they have to cook it. And I think that's a holdover from some other restaurants who are very slow to cook you a pizza. These things are incredibly quick because they're thin crust. They put them in a super hot oven. By the time you've got your drink, got your thing, checked your phone, they're bringing that pizza to your table. Now it's even faster because you can order it ahead of time. So give your pie online a shot. It's improved. And sign up for, you know, you can get a little, not exactly a newsletter, but if you give them your email address, they will send you specials all the time. I mean, I went out there and had a pizza for $5 because they sent me a little coupon code. I'm like, oh, okay.
Don't act like you pay for pizza.
I actually do. Of course, then I change my rates on them, and we jump it up each time they make me pay for a pizza. And we're still, if somebody wants to get a franchise, then we could get that free for life pizza deal. So that my career goal is to get the free pizza for life.
Ronnie Brown, we got some recruiting questions rolling in. Ronnie says, Jake, did UGA take the lead for any recruits they may have been trailing for coming into the weekend? Good question for sure. I will say the one guy that I've heard that they've made some significant ground with is Kier Elam. I think that that's definitely a guy to keep on your radar as far as Georgia making gains. That's kind of a battle between them and the Gators. Obviously, pulling him out of Palm Beach Gardens would be a huge get for Georgia. He's a very lengthy cornerback, like a guy that they really like in this class, and they've been on for some time. It was not a for sure thing, and most people were leaning Florida there. We've heard good things about the gains Georgia made this past weekend with Elam, so be on the lookout for him.
Elam and Stevenson would be great, right?
That would be an ideal pretty much finish.
And then you had Daniel.
You got Daniel, sign. Stevenson, Elam, if you finish with that four in your backfield, that's strong as Ajax to steal a line.
And then you get Clay Webb.
Yeah, and then, yeah, maybe you get Clay Webb.
Running back. You going to play Clay Webb at linebacker?
No, I just want Clay Webb.
We're talking defense, man. You like a center, don't you?
George Foster knows I like linemen.
I think one thing might hurt us a little bit with him is seeing Hill play, but we could play Hill at guard, I guess.
Brent Tucker wants to know if
he can play guard too.
Any chance Rodrigo gets some snaps at quarterback Saturday in the second half?
Please stop doing that.
That was not a bad play call.
It was a good play call. I'll give him credit.
Hey, one of the things that somebody said to me, hey, well, you give up the chance to run it again. There's only certain looks that you can run that against. You know, when people, what we call butcher knife bandit, they just bring everything. And, you know, you sell the ranch at the end of the game to block a kick, and you're not worried about the fake. So they bring 11 there, you know, and it's just set up for that. But Rodrigo panicked a little bit and put, you know, didn't throw it like he could. He threw some in practice the other day. He looked like Fran Tarkington out there. And, you know, that was on a – that I went out there to see Sean McDonough. I just got there at the end and saw him run a fake, but he looked pretty good hitting it. So, but I think in that situation, it was you worry more about the block than you do anything. So a block field goal would have hurt us. So, you know, you didn't hurt yourself with the missed pass there, but hey, that's the way it goes.
And, you know, I'm not a big fan of it when you have a fantastic kicker take the points. I get Kirby's point about, you know, 20 points versus 21. I trust me, I completely understand it. My thought though is, when you're going to do that, is it really a good idea to let him throw it? Let the up back do it.
No, I mean, I can see.
But he can do it. He wouldn't have let.
Not the up back holder.
He would have never done it unless he thought he could.
That's true.
He can do it. But
that's why I loved having when you saw.
Go back to last year. 2 minutes ago in the game, they ran a screen pass for a touchdown on us.
Yeah. I was just thinking back to the times when you had a quarterback who was your holder. You know, when you saw these guys learn to do it, you know.
But that's the way it was set up, though. Yeah. You'd have to roll out to do that. You know, that's true. This way you just catch it and throw it. But we did that same play exactly on a punt against Mississippi State. Dax Langley hit Hines Ward right over the middle because he had everybody coming. Nobody's in the middle. And I told Dax right before he threw it, I said, no matter what, don't overthrow him, underthrow him, if anything. I don't want to see how far you can throw the ball back. And he hit him a little bit short, which is good. Hey, you know, you only get one shot at that. So I think it would have been nice. Can you imagine that stadium if it had hit that?
Oh, man, that was exactly what I said.
That would have been a rocket ship.
Oh,
now.
No doubt.
That would have been fuel on the fire.
And congrats to Dax for getting that one, because he can always say, you know, I threw to a Super Bowl MVP.
You know? Yeah.
So
Dax, one of the better athletes, got good golfer, could punt and place kick. I mean, he was a good athlete.
Interesting question here from Jay Teal. It says, just got here. Sorry if already posted, but nobody has. So good on you there, Jay.
What are you doing calling in this late?
He says, do you think Stokes is in line for more time in place of Campbell? Do you think that we're going to get a heavier dose of Eric Stokes moving forward?
I think this week will tell the tale here, how they practice, what they do. You know, both of them should play a lot this week. This is a predominantly passing team. They're going to probably throw 50 passes if they're in there. I mean, I would say unless they just concede it and try to run the clock out like Austin Peay did, but I would say he's going to play more and more. He's earned it the way he played. He graded out good. And, Campbell's got a lot of potential, and he's made some really good plays this year. But, you know, have a tendency to focus on what he hadn't done. But we can have two corners there that can really smoke it. I mean, they could be part of a track team. But I just want to give Tucker and Tyson Summers, worked with them too. They've really developed these kids. Their technique's so much better than it was when the season started. I mean – really good. They're doing a good job with him.
I told Roddy after the game, I think that when you sub Stokes in for Tyson, you know, obviously one guy was the 5-star, one guy was the unheralded 3-star. But physically and from a speed perspective, I don't think there's all that big of a drop-off.
Right.
He's not quite as tall or thick.
But you know, here's another guy that redshirted, learned the program. I mean, just – what we got, 63 guys, freshmen or sophomores?
Yeah, something like that.
The Renaissance, that's the name of our program.
I'm telling you.
We're in the Renaissance, aren't we?
You're going to take a kid out of, you know, Newton, Covington area, Eastside.
Oh, I mean, come on.
You'll let him tackle. That boy can tackle.
Throw out where he's from.
I'm just saying it.
Tell everybody about your high
Rockdale
school.
I played against Newton, and they caved our heads in numerous times. So we couldn't run anything against those bastards.
A little something here from Dave McMahon. He says, I believe this is true. We don't have complete confirmation, but I've got a good sense that this. He says, last time an NCAA kicker threw a touchdown pass in a game, was 2013. The kicker was at Cal. So Rodrigo had a chance to really
set some history.
Get some stuff going
now,
again.
To your point, there's no love lost between Auburn and Georgia. And, you know, a lot of people were disappointed that they weren't playing Soldier Boy and stuff like that. And, you know, the Auburn people got annoyed by that fake field goal. But you got to understand, Rodrigo is – I think he really gets the loudest cheer when they announce the starting lineup.
Not even a question.
He is – he's become a kind of a cult phenomenon, you know, a cult figure. If he had hit it, you know.
They would have started erecting the statue.
Your point that,
well, Auburn ought to be – I would be happy. We gave him a chance. We let Rodrigo – showed you how open it was. We let Rodrigo throw it. Anybody? You know? But it would have been great for him. But getting back to it, that was just total – I would have never thought we could physically dominate them like that. And it was a good job, again, by our wide receivers and tight ends blocking to go with the front. You know, they did a good job. And Jake just – phenomenal putting us in the right play and going against the right look. It was just really good. And Justin made some good checks too.
You mentioned my 3-2-1. The first thing I did one section about thoughts on Auburn, and I said, look, I don't expect Georgia to run into the teeth of this defense. You know, it's too many guys, Adams, Derek Brown, those guys are monsters. Attack them on the edges, beat them with your speed. And Georgia did some of that, but then they also went right A-gap, B-gap, right at him, and had wild success. And it's the last thing I expected. And
well, that happened, though, because of what you predicted. That loosened them up, the plays in the flat and all. They just couldn't box it up on us. They knew that we were throwing the ball, so that opened up those areas. And if you – people underestimate those big old guys coming off the ball. We got some mass in there now. We got some thick stuff coming at you. And if you can get on them, you know – it's hard to – you might not move them much, but the way these backs run, the way Holyfield cuts back, the way he hits it quick, and the way just ridiculous the way the old Swift can jump cut and stuff like that. I mean, all you want is a tie. You go back to Todd Gurley when we used to talk about him. One of the reasons he got drafted was because – so high was because how many times he got hit behind the line and still made yards because our line wasn't quite as good as this one here. And so – now we don't see much penetration on us at all. We saw some from LSU, but that's really a difference maker for a back. If you can get to the first level, then the second level is a lot easier.
Good question here from Brent Tucker. He says, why can't we run some of those third down plays on first and second down sometimes?
Well, they're all the same, but it just depends on what the defense gives. And the one goal line situation that we got in when we kicked the first field goal, we just missed some blocks on first down. I mean, that was it. And then the second down play, we tried that little gadget play with the field starting one way and coming back the other. But, you know, I think it's cause of concern. But when you get lost yardage play on the goal line, it puts you behind the sticks. And when you get missed assignments like we did against Florida, which we went over, but I don't think it's a serious deal that's going to drive you to the Looney Tunes. I think it's just a case of keep working on it and understanding execution's the name of the game down there. And you know, you
know, it's all coaching. Come on, coach. Yeah. You know that it's damn Jim Chaney and his horrible play calling. That I've read that 1,000 times.
I tell you,
and
what,
I hate to tell people, it is a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, I thought he called an A-plus game the other night with the addition of what Jake called at the line. I thought we – I mean, for us to get that many yards, maybe not quite as many points as you would with that, is just a phenomenal job of the way they look at these personnel groups and the way they attack them and all. We had one turnover where, you know, I thought Stanley maybe could have come back for the ball a little bit, you know, on that one interception. And that's the area that Jake struggles a little bit. About the only area is throwing the ball inside with the velocity. If you look at most of his interceptions, Notre Dame last year, this year against somebody early, I think Middle Tennessee, ball's over the middle that, you know, receiver got to help him a little bit, though. But I think but for the rest of the game, I mean, he couldn't have done anything else but play like he did. He was great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, what do you attribute – this was something that people have asked Kirby about, they've asked Jake about. I'm just interested in your thoughts. What do you attribute the success on the third downs to? I mean, it's taken a real turn since that LSU game, and they've gotten better and better, it seems, each week.
Yeah, I think just the fact that we weren't challenged early in the year and we didn't have a lot of them, and – we didn't know some of the things we couldn't do, you know what I mean? So we found that out against LSU. So by working and taking some of that out of our plan, we've condensed it and we're doing, you know, whether it's throwing to the backs out, throwing shorter routes, hitting the tight ends on check down. But we don't have a lot of late developing routes like we had against LSU. And throwing the ball on time and the guys are picking them up. And it's hard to blitz us because, you know, you got Terry Godwin and Ridley out there man-to-man. And, you know, Ridley the other night, I thought he was hurt, but he actually played 50-something. We didn't throw him but one pass, but he's certainly going to be a guy you look for. But they got good corners, and we worked on the inside people. I tell you, when we go to that one little look, that duo or Dixie or whatever you want to call it, four guys with Cook inside and R. Hardman and we got
Godwin
on the right or on the left, you know, double look there with two wides. What puts some stress on you? Whichever one the safety's covering, the other guy's on the linebacker, and they just run an option route in or out, and Jake just puts it on them. That's tough. Almost the same play identically that we ran to Isaiah McKenzie against when we really need to have it against Missouri out there when we won the game.
But
we didn't – on that one, he went more vertical instead of crossing. But, you know, again, just picking out the low part of the defense and taking advantage of it. And I want to give Kirby a lot of credit for his clock management there. You know, we had the timeouts and all, but he let it go down to 29 seconds, knowing if we didn't make it, that would give them very few seconds to do anything. But if we made it, we could still kick the field goal. So you got to look at it both ways, but I thought it worked out good. And, you know, again,
touchdown was pretty good.
And then our kicking game, downing the ball on the one, again, we continue to do that extremely well.
Taylor Vandiver says he's got the solution here. He says, I want to see us run some jumbo package on those goal line situations. Let's use Devontae Wyatt as a ball carrier. I think he was a running back in high school. He absolutely was at Towers High School. Go back and watch his high school film. That dude was a truck from the running back position.
We ran jumbo one time against not with a refrigerator type deal, but we did that against Florida, put in another lead blocker there. But, hey, there's plenty of suggestions, but –
Oh, sure.
We'll see.
They did it again this week. They brought in Luke Ford as a tight end.
Yeah. The next, it
didn't work.
The next 2 weeks are not going to be a real issue on the goal line. So I think we just got to continue to work on it and see what happens.
But I do want to point out he mentioned Devontae Wyatt. I thought he had a fantastic game. I looked up, I saw 95.
Getting better each week.
Yeah. He's improving.
And it's funny. It's that same track that we saw Jordan Davis come on. And even Kirby in his press conference said when they were mentioning his run defense, and he's like, we got some guys healthy. And he mentioned, you know, and he didn't even point them out, but the fact that you got, you know, Wyatt coming back and he's spelling you know, Rochester and Ledbetter and Wyatt and guys like that.
How about that play Clark made going inside out and going over toward the boundary? I mean,
he made a tackle so far away from where he started, and he punched the sky, and he deserved it because that was an NFL. On his tape.
Got some juice.
Yeah. He flew over there. And, again, I expected this game to be a lot closer than it was. Just because it's a Georgia-Auburn game I mentioned on the show last week, but – Georgia gave them one touchdown on the second drive, and then that defense just stepped up and said, look, you know, like you said, they ran that dime, and then Georgia ran right at them, ball control, had about 38 minutes, he had the ball.
Yeah.
Kirby's game plan came to fruition almost exactly the way he drew it up, and they left points on the field. There were some times that they would have loved to have gotten some – in other words, that wasn't Georgia's best effort, and it still went the way they wanted it to.
Right. Let me just ask you a mathematical question here.
Come on. There'd be no math.
What is 12 and 3?
15,
right. How many times have we beat Auburn out of the last 15 games?
12.
Hey, serious. That's serious now.
My
12
brain
and 3.
That's legit.
Let me ask you this. If you score a touchdown, how many points do you get? And you kick an extra point?
7.
In the last 5 times that Auburn's played in our stadium, how many times have they scored more than one touchdown?
I think it's 0, isn't it? Yeah.
Last 5 times? I knew it was last 3.
Well, I'm going to add 2 just for heck of it. Hey, ever since he's been the offensive coordinator, I know 1 year they had us 10 to nothing and they didn't score when he was the coordinator. But seriously, you got to give our coaches a lot of credit and our players because this team is capable of lighting it up, you know. But
they still haven't played their best game yet. I mean,
I'm talking about their team, but our team hasn't. No, but we got to save it for Bama, hopefully, or again, I tell you what, I'm gonna be in the complete. When y'all see me on the show next week, I'm gonna be in the fetal position, thinking about stopping that offense. Now, even if you play good, they make a first down. They all got to do is average 3 yards a carry. You know,
and I guess what I'm saying to coaches about Georgia, they played a lot better against Auburn than I was thinking they would. I mean, that was a butt kicking.
Sure.
They ran all over them. Not exactly what I expected. I expected to see more passing because I didn't think you'd be able to run as well. Thought you'd see your backs. Now, Elijah Holyfield graded out fantastically in pass protection. I expect to see a lot more passing, pass pro. I thought this was, you know, Jake Fromm's game to win or lose through his arm. Didn't turn out that way. If they could have drawn it up any way they wanted to, they would take away the pass from Jarrett Stidham, try to make you have to, you know, make Auburn run the ball, which – that worked out perfectly. Like you said, they ran dime 60-something% of the time. They stopped the passing game. They couldn't run it. Held them to 10 points. Then you have a situation where its offense runs all over them. You made them one. You possessed the ball most of the game. You ran it, scored a lot of points, and you still had ridiculous amounts of penalties, and you still left a lot of points on the field.
Yep.
That game could have been 55 points, you know, 55
to 10. Just like Kentucky game last year.
That's my point. So it's like you're winning these games against top 10 teams, ranked teams. You know, what happens when they put it all together?
Yeah, not playing your best game.
Exactly. So you're able to fulfill.
Saving it for tech.
There you go. You fulfill your game plan, but you're not at your best yet. And you have players go down. Two offensive linemen. What happens if they have a game where they don't have as many penalties?
That for Baker, a senior. Yeah. I mean – I hate that. He's been a good team guy. I just hope some way he can get back, but that's terrible.
Yeah, and all those offensive linemen banged up, and Miko Hardman got hurt again, you know, and got rolled up on. He's fine. I mean, he went back out on the field later on, but you got a lot of guys get banged up in the game. They're not playing at their full strength, and I'm just thinking if Georgia puts one game together, hopefully against Tech, maybe against Alabama in the SEC Championship game, we don't know what the ceiling for this team is. We don't know what they're capable of yet because they were able to win these, you know, games against ranked teams quite handily.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I'm excited to see it. I'd love to see it one day.
A couple of things.
You're going to see it here in the Renaissance.
A couple of things I wanted to touch on real quick. Make sure you get over to UGASports.com. We've got updates up with N'Kobe Dean.
Who's he?
N'Kobe Dean is one of the top inside linebackers in the country. Is he number one?
He's number one. The number one inside linebacker in the nation.
After his visit, reviews that, you know, the big update from him. Also spoke with DJ Williams. And if that's a guy that if you don't know him, you need to get to know him quick. Because out of Sebring, Florida, stacking them up left and right, he's grabbing a bunch of offers. Georgia, this weekend, picked up that offer. Be interesting to see how that all plays out. He's out of Sebring, Florida.
What does he play?
He's a running back. An App State commit, two-star, but a guy who really just burst onto the scene at the end of last week.
Hey, they get back. That guy at Appalachian got hurt against Georgia Southern. One of their backs got caught.
I don't know.
Maybe it was against Arkansas State. He got carted off.
I don't know that he'll be an App State commit for much longer because he's got offers from Miami, Tennessee, Auburn. Just picked up one from Georgia.
Yeah. I would say that App State coach might be getting a big job. He's got a good job, but you got to look hard at him and Neil Brown at Troy. And, you know, this is the time of year you got that Allied van list out there looking about which coaches are going to be moving.
And that Purdue coach is going to be going too.
I don't think he's going to Louisville, though. I think he might go somewhere else.
I like the UAB guy, too.
Bill Clark. Good coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell you, he took that team, only started football again last year, and second year they're playing. They got A&M this week. Watch out, A&M. A&M might have to take some of that money away from Jimbo.
Good luck.
Speaking of money, if you want to make sure you make a good investment in your home, you need to check out our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, A-A-R-O-N, Aaron Overhead Doors. If you want to make your house look good, you know when you have the little visor on your car and it's got little buttons on it for us to have new cars.
Yeah.
You have little buttons.
That sounds nice.
That work with your garage door opener, but you never figured out how to program them and get them to work. Call our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. They can come out and get that set up for you. They know how to do it. Or if you've lost your release or your garage door opener is not working right, they understand the frequencies and all that stuff. I mean, it's their job. It's what they do. And they'll actually send out somebody who works for Aaron Overhead Doors, not just some you know,
got their own people.
They got their own people, absolutely.
Not some schmuck off the street.
I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, some schmuck. Well, because now, and this is the thing, I was doing something. I'm not going to bang on Lowe's, but it was Lowe's. And I went out there and needed somebody to come look at a sliding glass door, and the guy, they said, okay, well, we'll charge you $35, and then we'll call somebody, you know, we'll call one of our contractors to go out there. I'm like, wait, no, this...
Consulting.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, why don't I just call somebody? Why did I pay you $35 to call somebody for me? So anyway, I was. It's a situation where Aaron over at Doors has their own people. And also, while we're talking about some of our sponsors, I want to give a quick shout out to Academia Brewing Company. This Saturday, 4 o'clock, is the UMass game. It might be cold. It might be rainy. It might not be. If in other words, if you're not going and you live here in the Athens area or the Northeast Georgia area, swing by Academia Brewing Company. They have two giant screens up. They have the best beer, some of the fantastic food. They actually have a chef there. You know, if you're not there or you're not here at Champions, you can come here in Champions and get your tailgate supplies.
I think you got to come by Champions and get something for tailgate. For 4 o'clock, you're going to be starving.
That's my point.
Man.
That's
you
why I was saying them.
Because
they have a great atmosphere here during the games, but to me, if you're having a tailgate and you don't get one of their boxes full of all their
tamales,
tenders, catfish, stuff like that. But if you're actually going to sit and watch a game and you want to have a chef, they have a great chef out there. He's a Georgia graduate too, by the way. So the people out there, people here, all huge Georgia fans. So if you want to watch the game, if you're going to watch the game and not actually be in the stadium, Champions is your spot. You know, for your tailgate, for the game. And also the UGA alumni group. They meet out there. They have reserved seats. You can call Academia, and they'll save you a spot. And, of course, they have their cool pint glasses, you know, the souvenirs you can get for $5. So both of those great places to stop by.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Absolutely.
We got another.
Let's see. We got a couple.
Let's get like a rant. Three quick questions answered in 15 seconds.
Okay. All right.
Taylor
Vandiver says, you may have touched on this already, but is Demetrius Robertson still on the team?
You know, Demetrius had a tough deal. I don't know if it's a concussion, but he'll be back this week. Hey, I can Booker T. Washington that.
There you go. All right.
Which that means it's going to happen.
Ryan Lucia from Aaron Overhead Doors says, we love the dogs. He does.
There you go.
The owner of Aaron Overhead Doors. Again, huge fan. There's probably nobody bouncing off the walls higher than he was last week.
Brent Tucker says, Ledbetter seems like he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. Thoughts on his impact?
Yeah, I think he's really playing good, and he's really focusing in on being the leader, too, and doing a really good job out there for our team.
Looking down the line here a little bit, John Hicks wants to know, do we think Tyson Campbell is ready to take on those Alabama receivers?
You know, who knows? You know, I saw Mississippi State last week. They played a lot of zone coverage, and then they brought some zone blitzes, and they got the two of some. But look at Judy. Look at that YouTube deal about when he tries to run and people try to cover him. I don't know if anybody's ready, but, you know, you got to take a consummate look at rushing a passer, playing underneath, doing all that, stopping the run. But we'll give you a good preview of that game the week of it. We'll talk about it.
Jerry Judy got the sweet feet, man.
Hey, I'm serious now.
That bat that Richard LeCount carries,
yes.
Hand that to Tyson Campbell on first down. You can take care of the whole Jerry Judy situation right off the bat.
Is that you think that would be a targeting penalty if you used a bat?
Everything's a targeting penalty. Now you might as well get your 15 yards. Jerry Judy, we saw him in Athens, and he is phenomenal.
Yeah,
I love that kid.
He's a freak.
And he's not the only one they got.
Yeah, so Henry Ruggs is incredible as well.
You move your safety over to kind of give a little help, and Ruggs will eat you alive. So my answer to that question is I don't know if Tyson's ready yet.
All right, let's wrap it up on this. Mouthwatering player of the week against the UMass Minutemen. Going to be an interesting contest. You hope that Georgia gets out to the big lead. Some of the young guys get in. Coach, who you thinking gets the shot?
Well, I don't know. This week goes, you know, you just don't know who's going to play and how long they're going to play. I would just say Georgia defense as a whole, you know, you're going to see some younger guys jump out there and do the job. So I think you'd see a lot of open field plays by our Georgia defense.
Roddy?
Brian Herrien.
I like that pick. That's a good one.
Counting on a route then, right?
You think he's your third option.
Yeah, he's good. He delivers.
But if you got three, if you're up 21-0 or, you know, 28-7, something like that, and you're still running Holyfield and Swift, yeah. Coach is going to catch
up. The other thing I want to do, make sure I people understand, we used to coach in Oklahoma. Booker T. Washington was a high school there in Tulsa. When they played, he knew they were going to win, so you could count on Booker T. Washington. That's what I was talking about with Robertson. I think he'll be back this week. He's just I can't say exactly what was wrong with him because it would be divulging something. But, you get something happen to you like that, you got to sit out. So he'll be back.
I'm going to go with before the lights flicker again. I'm worried that we might drop off. I think my guy this week, Adam Anderson. I think that he's been really close.
Ooh,
he's
yeah.
been real close to making some
good
big
call.
Plays. He's been playing a lot more each week. This is a good time for him to get out there and feast. So Adam Anderson, my mouthwatering player of the week.
This is my mouth watering right now. Some catfish.
Yeah.
You guys are going to get one piece, and I'm going to get three. I do not share.
No, that is not
you,
true.
You got the tamales. I get this.
There you go.
Yeah, I did take all those tamales last week, and that was for certain. I tell you, when you get a chance, swing by here, have them. And if you take them home, have them with eggs.
They got good sweet tea, too.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Tune in next week. We'll be recapping the UMass game and looking ahead to Georgia Tech. For all the folks at UGASports.com and 11 Live, thank you very much for tuning in.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.